Now playing.
Why so serious?
What is the Matrix?
Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What's in the box?
You like scary movies?
What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Cannonball!
That's right, guys. This week, it is the one and only and beloved movie Anchorman. I am one of your hosts, Sam Hurley, and I am joined this week by the most charming ginger princess of all the ginger princesses. How are you, Stacey?
I'm great, thanks. I'm really excited to be here talking about this movie.
My other guest star. Well, if you're going to do a movie set in California, you've got to reach out and find one of the coolest Californians that you can find. It's Ash. How are you, Ash?
Kia ora. Oh! Did I say that right? Yeah!
Well, boom, holy shit!
All right. That's right. I learned that from Boy, because I watched Boy.
Oh, yes! Okay. Oh, you're a legend!
I am doing good. That's the only New Zealand word I know. But I'm great.
So Ash, who is our lovely guest, is, well, she's the star of many things. But would you like to plug, Ash? I guess the thing that we found each other through was your podcast, Let's Rewatch. But hit us with everything.
Yeah, that thing. I do a movie podcast as well, where we rewatch movies we loved in our youth and see if they still hold up. And we had Sam on and we did Con Air, which was just fantastic. It was my first time watching Con Air, and we just gush about how much we love Nicolas Cage. Sorry, Stacey. I know that's not your thing.
So we'll get into it. Ash, you picked this movie. You gave us a couple of suggestions, and this one is possibly the movie I've watched the most in my entire life.
Second
only to Star Wars. Yeah, when I lived over in London, I used to get fucking blazingly drunk and then wake up the next day and not want to talk to anyone, put this on repeat, and then just fall asleep to it, and then wake up and just be like, hey, it's still going, and then giggle, go back to sleep, wake up, go back to sleep. Just back and forth. So I've probably seen this movie or been in the presence of this movie about a million times. So what we do is we give it a score out of 10,000. Ash, what would you give this movie as a score out of 10,000?
Out of 10,000? I would give it 10,000.
It always gets everyone. Yes.
There's already too many numbers. 90,000. There we go. 90,000.
90,000 out of 10,000. Holy shit. That's like 900%. Yeah. That's a good score.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Really good. Yeah. Loving it.
I mean, I picked the movie, so. No,
exactly.
Okay. I'm giving it a 7,122.
Blasphemy!
It's really good, but you know, it's just one of those movies. What do you give this movie out of 10,000, Sam?
9,995. This is 5 points off a 10,000. It's not as good as The Room.
Wow.
It's not as good as Pulp Fiction.
The Room? Really?
I love The Room.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never actually seen it. Oh, I need to.
Oh,
yes,
you do.
Yes, you do need to.
It's so bad. Okay. It's amazing.
Anyway, we're getting a bit off topic
totally
here.
Off topic.
Maybe for those people who haven't seen the film Anchorman and who are quite happy to listen along and get it completely spoiled for them, maybe I'll just give you the plot.
Yeah, hit us with the plot,
Stace. Here's the plot. Okay, so hotshot television anchorman Ron Burgundy welcomes upstart reporter Veronica Corningstone into the male-dominated world of 1970s broadcast news. That is, until the talented female journalist begins to outshine Burgundy on air. Soon he grows jealous, begins a bitter feud with Veronica, and eventually makes a vulgar slip live on TV that ruins his career. However, when an outrageous story breaks out at the San Diego Zoo, Ron may get a chance to redeem himself.
Oh, sweet. It covers it off.
It is sweet.
If you haven't heard our podcast before, if you're one of the many millions and millions and millions of fans that Ash has that have come along to listen to this podcast, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. We go through 10 questions that we all answer. We then go into our personal questions, and we finish with a question that's been submitted to us by one of our lovely, lovely listeners. The first question that we always start with is the compliment sandwich, where we name one thing good, one thing bad, and one thing good about this movie. And because Ash is so wonderful and amazing and charming, she's going to start us off.
I think there are so many really good one-liners in this film. that it's just so amazing. There's lines in this movie that my boyfriend and I always quote back to each other.
Yeah.
Like loud noises is something we're always screaming at each other. But the plot of the movie isn't that great, really, actually. You know, it's not the best plot. And then one thing good is I think it's still really genuinely funny.
Yeah.
And Will Ferrell is just a mastermind of facial expressions and vocal humor.
He is.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so my compliment sandwich is... this is a really ridiculously funny and easy to watch movie. Enough said. The bad thing for me was Christina Applegate. I don't think she was the right choice. Some of her kind of sultry attitude seemed a little bit forced to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other good thing is some of the little guest stars that pop up. In particular, I love the Jack Black scene as the motorcyclist who gets thrown off his bike by Ron throwing a burrito at him.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's totally one of my favorite scenes. Yeah, for me, it's just the instant rewatchability. It's like there's so much jokes in there that just continually... you come back to them and you can continually watch it and watch it and watch it over again and never get bored of it. And there's stuff that you missed the first time around that I think is amazing. The bad thing for me, it kind of sags after he gets fired. There's about 10, 20 minutes. And the reason why I'm saying this is we watched it the other night and I've seen it a million times. So I was happy to do this podcast without rewatching it. But me and Stacey watched it and I fell asleep. I got to I got to the point where you got fired and I fell asleep. Then I woke up again, the movie was starting and Stacey was playing on her phone. And I was like, what the fuck's going on? So that was quite funny.
Do you ever wonder, based on what you said earlier, maybe you haven't seen this whole movie before? If you keep watching it.
Like you haven't seen it in your entirety?
Yeah, maybe I haven't.
You've just seen, it's like sketch comedy to you. You just see like the chunks for the different sketches.
Yeah. You guys are going to bring up a scene or something in this movie and I'm going to be like, that's not in the film. What the fuck are you guys?
That didn't happen? What?
Yeah, Jack Black was
in it. Yeah, remember the scene where he like, when he stole the helicopter and then he crashed into that building? You don't remember that?
I need to watch this again. Let's quit. I'm doing it. Yeah. That's amazing. I love a good helicopter scene. How the hell did I miss that? I suppose my final good thing is the performances by all of them. They're just all great. Like every single one of these actors went on to have awesome careers and they deserve it. They were so good in this and they're just fucking amazing.
Mm.
That moves us on to question number two. Hit us with it, Stace.
Okay, so let's say this movie is the offspring of a dirty love affair between two movies. Which two movies are they?
I am going to go with the balls out stupidity that is, well, we've got it. It's called Flying High down here, but in America it's known as Airplane. It's the Zucker Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
From 1980.
Yeah.
It's just so preposterously stupid. And to even it out, I'm going to go with Spotlight because that's about journalists. Same thing, right?
Roughly in the middle, you reckon?
Yeah, somewhere down the middle. Probably a bit more on the stupid side than the sort of Spotlight series side, but yeah.
Yeah, nice one. What about you, Ash?
I would say it's like Step Brothers meets Animal House or something, just because it's like, again, it's another Adam McKay movie, but it's got like the sexist humor of Animal House, I guess. You know? Not that I don't love Animal House, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
totally.
Totally true.
So I love the 70s vibe from the Brady Bunch, and it's crossed over with Office Space.
With Office Space?
For the workplace.
Oh, interesting.
Humor.
Yeah. Workplace humor, yeah, I get it. I get what you're putting down.
Yeah, good work, Stace. Okay, question number three, Ash.
Question number three is, what flavor ice cream is this movie?
I'm just going to pick something out of the movie. I'm going with a Manhattan cocktail ice cream. So that's what Christina Applegate orders when she goes on her non-date with Ron.
I am going to go with a San Diego ice cream, aka whale's vagina.
Oh, God.
That's an ice cream, right?
Awful. Have you tried that?
I thought that was a German ice cream.
Oh, yeah, there it is. It's a German one. The Germans love it.
I would have to go with an ice cream that would be the flavor of like a dirty mustache that's like collected your food throughout the day. Mixed with Cherry Garcia, just like a little of that like weird... I just feel like that's the ice cream he would eat in this movie. Yep. It would be Cherry Garcia.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so true. That's awesome. Question number four. If you guys were a recruitment consultant and this movie came to you looking for a job, What sort of job would you recommend this movie for?
I think that this show has a bit of pizzazz and they clearly love their looks and their image, you know, they're on TV. So I think this movie would be a runner at a fashion runway show. So they'd be behind the scenes because they're not good enough to be on the walk, well, on the runway.
Right.
Yeah. But they'll be around.
That's good.
I think if this movie came to me embodied by Ron Burgundy, I would recommend he be a fluffer. Do you know what a fluffer is over there?
What, people that get people ready for porn shoots?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I think that would fit for him. Yeah.
He may just end up
fluffing. That's fucking amazing. That's...
He may just end up fluffing himself the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it, but I did 1,000.
Yeah.
I fluffed 1,000 people today. My arm, it burns. Deep burn.
Part of his mustache just is rubbed off.
Nice.
I'm sorry. I'm horrible.
No, that's amazing. We've got literally no quality control on this show, so that's fine.
Oh, good.
Yeah. For me, it's like a greasy stand-up comedians that just tell really horrible jokes, like as an MC sort of thing. Like you see them at things when they get up and they're like, hey, why should ladies masturbate with these two fingers? Because they're mine. You know?
Okay, question number 5. Which subplot from this movie would make for an awesome spin-off?
I instantly thought of Brick and just like, just even his daily life. And then I was like, wait, is that already kind of a movie? The 40-year-old version? Right?
Yeah, that's so true.
Kind of. The same thing. Yeah.
I want to know about the adventures of Baxter, the dog.
Oh, yeah.
That guy goes on some adventures. He eats a whole wheel of cheese. He poops in a refrigerator. He gets kicked off a bridge and learns to become one with the bears.
He also speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah, he speaks Spanish.
Yes.
That guy is up to some adventures, man.
I mean, I gotta say, that dog was pretty, like, probably the best movie dog I've ever seen.
Oh, totally.
Like, I was like, man, I really believe this dog is saying this thing right now.
Yeah.
There was that one shot where he's, like, talking to him, and it's, like, sort of like a wide-angle shot sort of thing where you see, you know, Will Ferrell and the dog acting, and they actually look like the dog is actually having a conversation with him. Like normally the dog's like looking all over the place or doesn't have that gaze sort of thing. But this one was, fucking hats off.
Yeah, because normally normally the animal is like looking off to the side at the trainer. And it like always bugs me because I'm like, you know, I have a dog and it's like the dogs maintain eye contact with you when you're talking with them. Mm. But in movies, if you notice, you'll notice that the dogs are never looking at the person talking to them. They're always looking off at somebody with a treat that's like, okay, hold. All right. Good boy, you know. This one, it looked like they were actually interacting. And that dog actually looked like he had attitude. He looked like he had a lot of attitude for a small dog.
Yeah, man. He totally carried himself, eh?
Okay, so I'm picking for my spinoff, I'm picking a character we didn't see hardly anything off, but I love this actress, Catherine Hahn.
Oh, she's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
So she plays, what does she play in this movie? She's like, is she like a makeup artist or an administrator? Or she's just on the sidelines there, like cheering Christina Applegate
along.
She's
a girl with attitude.
Yeah. She would have been amazing in Christina Applegate's role.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah, that would have been a good switch.
But what do you want to see her do?
That's what I'm saying. I don't really know much about her character. Any movie where she's the central character surely would be fun. Yeah, not sure. Not very well-rounded out answer.
There's a reason why Stacey isn't a screenwriter.
All right, number 6. What deep philosophical debate arose in you during this film?
My deep philosophical debate is how would I handle it if I was the superstar in some sort of job or field and then somebody else came along, not necessarily a woman, but someone else came along and, you know, we became really good mates and then they stole my role. Like, would I flip out and be as crazy and mad as Ron Burgundy? Would I walk the streets in the hot, hot heat drinking milk and deciding that it was a bad choice? Yeah, it was a lot of debates. A lot of debates going on.
Did you come to any answers?
No.
No.
I'd probably be cool with it. I don't reckon I'd give too much of a shit if, you know, jobs come and go.
So I was having this horrible philosophical debate of like, this movie is so fucking sexist. But at the same time, I'm like, but they're making fun of how sexist it was in the 70s. So it's okay. But yeah. Then I'm like, is it okay? Is it okay to laugh at this? And then there are times where I'm like, are they making fun of mentally disabled people with Brick? Like, is this okay to laugh at? Is that okay for me to be laughing at that? So that's, I feel like it definitely felt different now than when I've seen it in the past, back, you know, back in 2004, it came out, you know.
I really like that.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And we've actually kind of had that in quite a few movies we've watched recently from older movies. Like, one was Miss Congeniality, which actually that slapped me in the face how sexist that is. I was like, whoa, I did not notice this 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I just watched that recently too. And I was like, oh God, whoa. You know, like the moral of that story is like really questionable. It's like, wait a minute.
I'm just going to, so with my debate, it keeps getting stuck in my head. So I have to get it out. It's this whole Christina Applegate thing. Why did they cast her in that role? I'm just like, she's okay. And then part of me is thinking, did they cast her purposely so that Will Ferrell would look better? You know, they couldn't have had an equally strong female. They couldn't have had someone where your eye was always diverted towards them. I don't know.
Like, I do kind of agree. She brought like a little bit too much of the bitchiness to it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. She's one of those actresses too that's so hard to look at and just think Kelly Bundy, you know what I mean? Like, she's, yeah. Now, there's a show that would never get made nowadays.
Oh, my God. We have to go back and rewatch that.
What, Married with Children? I think, yeah.
But what's another good role that Christina Applegate has had where she nailed it and you're like, yes, that was such a good role? I can't think of one.
She's the type of person, like, I know her face, but I don't remember the movie she's been in.
Exactly.
But I was thinking Christina Taylor or Christine Taylor.
Oh, yeah, Ben Stiller's wife. Yeah, yeah.
From Zoolander would have been great too.
Oh, she would have been fucking amazing. Yeah.
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 Okay, so that moves us on to question number 7. Which character from this film just clearly needs to get laid?
I mean, all of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a suitable answer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all do.
That is my answer.
Good word.
I'm going with Brian Fantana, played by Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah.
Because why does he need to get out that cologne? If, like, he's like trying every trick in the book.
Yeah.
I love
he's
Brian
the
Fantin.
One that I think, like, most likely has never been in an actual relationship. Because he's also the one that's like, what's it like, Will? Love? You know, or Ron, sorry.
Yeah.
Whatever, same person. Will, Ron. You know, like, I don't think he's been in any sort of real relationship.
What's funny is, I think in the sequel, it comes out that he's still a virgin.
Oh, really?
Oh, there you go. Then you're right.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it comes out that he's still a virgin and he says that to him. I am going to go with a character that isn't even seen in the movie. I am going to go with Fred Willard's son, who's the one that...
Oh, my God. Yeah. That kid is psychotic.
That kid is, that kid is fucking nuts. First, we get introduced to him and he's been looking at pornography and Fred Willard's like, well, we've all... seen our fair share. Oh, you haven't? Oh, of course you haven't. Okay, see you later, Sister Mary.
Yeah.
And then followed up by he's on acid and shooting a bow into a crowd of people. It's like, I think that kid needs to go and release some stress. I think he definitely needs to get laid.
And then he's like holding a marching band at gunpoint, right? Isn't that the final one? Like, he's like, we'll call it a prank. Just put the gun down.
Yeah, definitely him.
My favorite question, number 8. How would you incorporate Nicolas Cage into this movie?
For me, there's only one spot that he could be in. And I hate to take away a good Jack Black role, but I would have replaced Jack Black with Nicolas Cage so that we would have got a Nicolas Cage freak out on a bridge, just screaming and yelling at Will Ferrell.
Interesting.
kicking a dog off a bridge. The thing is, Nicolas Cage is such a method actor that I don't reckon he would have kicked the dummy dog off the bridge. He probably would have kicked the real dog off the bridge.
That is a good answer. I would love to see him as the head of another rival news crew that shows up for the Rumble at the end.
Oh, fuck yes.
Damn,
wouldn't that be great?
Answer. Yep, I'd love that.
Oh, sorry.
I'd love that.
It would be so great.
That would be so great. And and maybe he's the one that Brick kills with the trident by stabbing him with the trident.
Wow. Yeah.
During that escalated quickly.
All right. That's easy. That's my answer too.
Oh, sweet.
All right. So what quote from this movie would definitely not work as a pickup line?
And in a movie that is proliferated with... I'm going to go with I'm going to go with probably the not so quoted as much one, but it's one that definitely hit me when you watched it on the rewatch, which is, people call me the Bry Man. I'm the stylish one in the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is James Westfall, and my right one is Dr. Kenneth Noisewater.
I love the girl in that scene that's like sitting next to him that's just not paying attention to him at all.
Yeah,
it's totally so unfazed. Funny. Yeah.
It's not She's working amazing. At all. There's a line, Brick does this quite often during the movie where he repeats someone's line and then makes it worse and gets it wrong, misses the point. So it's one of those lines. So Brick's copying something I think Ron just said, and he says, "Where'd you get those clothes? The toilet shop?"
That's right, when he's throwing out insults.
Yeah, he totally misses that.
Oh, I love that one.
I don't know how this would work as a pickup line, but if someone was picking up on you and then also said milk was a bad choice, it's just that's the most disgusting combination I could imagine.
Yeah. Oh, I like that one. Okay, so that moves us on to number 10. Let's see how creative you guys can get with this. What would be the porn parody name for this film?
Mine's really obvious, so I have to go first. Wanker Man.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, no, I don't know. I was going to say Anchor Can, but it would be like a picture of a butt. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
I think yours is better.
And in a rare turn of events, I don't actually have one, but I am going to give a little piece of trivia. This film is actually the reverse of a porn parody film name. There was a documentary that came out about Ron Jeremy, the porn star. That was Ron Jeremy, the hardest working man in the business. And that's why they called this Anchorman the Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Interesting.
Or was it Legend, the Ron Jeremy story or something like that? So it's like, this is actually the reverse of a porn parody name.
Wow.
Interesting.
And Yanku cans. That would be my other one.
Like, they actually do try and do that when she first starts to work at the office.
Oh, whammy.
Yeah. As a woman who's worked in an office with mostly men before, this movie really did ring off. It's like, yeah, yep. Not that I was groped. I wasn't groped.
You were doing the groping?
But all the, like, yeah. You know, I was out of control. They had to give me my own office because I just wouldn't stop wanking there. Never mind. Let's move on. I just say things. See, they just come out of my mouth.
That's great. It's amazing.
All right. Whose turn is it now?
It's your turn to hit us with your personal question.
It's my turn. Okay. I'm excited for this one. Number 11. If you were a news anchor, what would your sign off be?
I got in trouble last podcast for being way too nice to an Australian podcast that's been very supportive and nice to us. It's Paul of the Countdown Podcast. They're great. They submitted us a question and everyone wrote in and said, "Hey, you're a New Zealander. Why are you being so nice to Australians?" And I was like, yeah, that's a real good point. So I'm going to reverse that. And my sign up would be, go fuck yourself, Australia. Just kidding, Aussie. We love you.
You could get fired for that.
No, I'm going to have to fire you.
Okay, so my sign-off would be, thanks for getting racy with Stacey.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Are you a cam girl?
Yeah. The best I could come up with was, I would say, stash you later, but I would have like one of those like old-timey evil man mustache things and I would like twirl it at the same time.
Oh, you know? That's cool.
All right, question 12. What is your, this is probably a hard question. What is your favorite one-liner from this film?
There's so fucking many.
I know.
I'm going to go with a line that is on the extended cut, and I'll give a reason why afterwards, but there's an extended cut or the international version, not necessarily on every version of it, but there's a line where they're all sitting around talking about how wasted they got the night before, and then Champ goes, I woke up in some Japanese family's rec room, and they would not stop yelling.
Yeah.
And that for me is classic, because one time when I was in Spain, me and all my mates went out, got on the piss, blah, blah. We were over there for the Tomatina, like the Sumatra throwing festival. We went out the night before, got fucking blitzed, left out, like everyone disappeared, you know, whatever. And then our mate's girlfriend was coming around knocking on the hotel rooms going, hey, has any of you guys seen Chris? Have you guys seen him? Blah, blah, blah. And we're like, no, don't know where he is. And then later turned out that he'd broken into some Spanish family's house and got to sleep in their bathtub. And then they woke him up screaming at him. And he was like, what the fuck? And I was like, you're the line out of Anchorman. They would not stop yelling at you. He was like, they're just screaming
at me
in Spanish.
Oh, man.
So that's that rings a personal chord for me. But there's a million others I could have chosen.
I loved a lot of the lines in this movie. The funny lines were things that they said wrong or they got the thing wrong, you know, like the common saying or joke or whatever.
And this diversity, I believe it's an old ship from the Civil War.
Yeah. So this is something along those lines, which I loved. And it's Brian Fantana again. Love that guy. 60% of the time it works every time.
Oh, that was second on my
list. Yes. That was a good
one. And Ron is like, that doesn't make sense. And then they move on. So I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one, Slade.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I love Lamp is always my favorite. And then what was interesting is there's a line I quote from this movie that I realized I've been quoting wrong. So I always say angry noises, but it's actually loud noises.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I still love that quote. That and the milk was a bad choice is the one my boyfriend always quotes all the time. Just whenever he's drinking milk.
He sounds like me. I've said that a million times.
Yeah.
So number 13, if you had to rumble with the rival news crew, what weapon would you use?
What? You know I don't speak Spanish. Just throwing in another one that I like. What about you? What would you pick?
Yeah. I want to go with a really ridiculous weapon that would make no sense except for maybe in this context. So my weapon is going to be hairspray.
Hairspray?
Yeah.
It's brilliant because they all like their hair. So they'd be like, yeah. Can I get some? They'd come to you.
That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. I'm going to go with hair gel.
Can't copy.
No, I'd probably go with, given how preposterous this movie is, probably a double-ended dildo.
Nice. Yeah.
Just something large and fucking waveable. Or a tank.
I think I'd go with a tank is always the best choice. Yeah. But I think I'd go with you could get a pool noodle and just really slap people with it.
Yeah. Okay, ladies, I just want you both to imagine that you're single and you're hanging out at a bar and the man of your dreams comes walking along. For you, Stacey, it could be Nicolas Cage. You never know. Anyway. So anyway, he's come strolling up to you and says, one of the following two lines. Which one would work on you better? I want to be on you, or I felt completely compelled to tell you something. You have an absolutely breathtaking hiney.
Definitely the second one for me. It's a compliment. The other one's just aggressive and gropey. I want to be on you.
I'm just going to throw it out there. If you like it, it's cool. If you don't like it, send it on back. I want to be on you.
Totally agree. And it's even the second one's even softened with, instead of saying ass, he says hiney. You know, it's not even, it's almost kind of innocent in a weird way.
Yeah. It's cute.
Yeah. I want to be on you is too close to I want to pee on you as well, which just brings horrible images.
That would not work as a pickup line.
So, next question. Who's the real MVP of this movie?
Well, I think you actually brought this up earlier. It's Baxter the dog.
Yes.
He saves the day. He really ties the whole plot together.
That's a good answer.
In the end.
I totally agree. I was going to say him too, which is why I let you go first, just in case. Just in case.
So that's two questions, the same answer.
We need the whole side story of Baxter for sure. His adventure of, it's like a freaking R-rated Homeward Bound, imagine, of him getting back to Ron Burgundy. Because he climbs out of some sort of, he looks like he's in Yosemite or something, out of the river at that one point, right?
Yeah.
Where was he?
It's amazing because rivers actually flow out into the ocean, but he's managed to go upwards up a river and end up in the middle of America somewhere. He's swum the wrong way. Fuck it, this way we'll go.
Maybe he's a salmon.
Part salmon.
Salmon,
he swum upstream to breed with the bears.
Yeah.
It's like the Jurassic World logic of we gave them tree frog DNA, so it can be invisible, right? Yeah. That's how it works. Yeah. Science.
He can speak to people. He can speak Spanish. He's been, yeah, infused with everything. He's great. Okay, so maybe you guys will have the same answer for this one again. Would you guys be mad with your dog? It's talking about Baxter. Would you guys be mad with your dog if he managed to eat a whole wheel of cheese? Because Ron is not even mad with him. It's impressive.
My dog would totally do this. He loves cheese. And like his favorite type of cheese. In fact, he's laying down next to me. I'm worried he'll wake up if I say cheese too much. But his favorite type of cheese is Parmesan. And we will grate it on the floor and he just goes fucking bananas. It's like crack to him. He will then lick the floor for a half an hour, like getting every single piece of cheese. He, wow. In a heartbeat, he would totally, I don't think I would be mad. I'd just be like, well, better bring some extra dog bags later.
Don't you bring
this
up that
is coming out soft.
I'm just looking at Stacey and saying, don't you bring up that night that we came home with that fried chicken and you grated it on the floor and I was licking
Was that the night you proposed?
Yeah, it was actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
That's when I knew she was the one for me, is when she grated fried chicken on the floor.
Well, I would be mad. I would be mad because I like cheese. And if my dog had eaten it all, eaten a whole wheel of it, I'd be like, God damn it, dog.
What if he had pooped in the refrigerator?
Well,
exactly.
I mean,
even
that'd be
worse.
Mad for that.
Yeah.
He'd be in real big trouble. But I don't know. It's really hard to discipline dogs when you love them so much. But yeah.
I'll just point out that Stacey's dog stays with her mum, and her mum once got out, was it a banana loaf?
Mm-hmm.
Got it out of the oven, put it on the top of the oven for it to cool, went to the toilet, came back and it was gone.
Yep. He'd eaten the whole thing.
The entire fucking banana loaf.
Yep.
Fresh out of the oven, so it would have been piping hot and he wouldn't have cared. He just wolfed
Not even
out.
A crumb left to be seen.
Oh my God. How did he get on top? Is it a big dog?
Yeah, it was just on the bench, so he just kind of put his arms up and...
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so that brings us around to my questions, Question 17. So tell me about a scene where you think we needed to see a bit of a sports training montage.
I reckon it would have been cool if we got like a bit of a montage of him joining, meeting the guys, how they got to where they are today, all that sort of stuff, basically.
I really wanted one. The perfect moment for me was right before they rumble with the other news crew. They say, let's go try on suits. And like the montage music starts and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about the suit montage. And then it didn't happen. And I was so disappointed.
That would have been brilliant.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. Damn it.
Question 18. Would you guys play a video game based on this movie? And what would it be like?
I play video games based on a lot of things, so I probably would, yes, and I think the game would be go out and do some crazy adventure and then make it back to the studio in time to record the news.
Yep.
I think I would have that similar existential crisis with playing a video game based off of this because I could only assume it would be try to pick up and sexually harass as many women in the office as possible.
Like Leisure Suit Larry or something.
Which would be hilarious, but also like I would have this moral, you know, problem with it. So I don't know if I would like it, but I could imagine it like, you know, you're Ron Burgundy and you're trying to slap other women's ass in the office or something.
I wouldn't even. If Sam came down and said, hey, Stacey, I found this new game for us to play. And I'd be like, oh, no, no way. I wouldn't even try it.
Oh, and then like the boss battle would be like, because he fights her in the movie. I forgot.
Yeah, so the
boss battle would be like eventually you harass the women enough that they just like turn around and like street fighter you all of a sudden.
Yeah. Like, was it Knights of Columbus?
Okay, so question 19. I just had to ask this question because I love that scene where Brian Fantana puts on his Sex Panther cologne with real panther in it and it evacuates the entire office. So what's the weirdest smell you guys have ever experienced?
One day in chemistry class, they got us to make these, fuck, it was like ethers or something. I can't even remember what it was. I was so bad at chemistry at school, but they got us to make these ethers and me and a couple of the other boys actually put in too much of something and not enough of the other. It literally smelled like a sewage plant had exploded.
Oh no.
It smelled like a used diaper full of Indian food.
that's so gross.
So the highlight was we all got sent home. They evacuated the school.
So not only did it smell bad, it was probably poisonous.
Yeah, 1,500 kids got sent home. And then luckily it was a Friday. And then by the Monday we came back and, you know, there's a legend that every now and then you can turn your nose the right way and the wind catches, you can still smell the aroma of Sam and the boys.
Oh, gosh.
It was fucking revolting.
I think mine is my friends took me to a real hot spring once, but, you know, it's got the sulfur in it.
Yes.
And so it's just like we're like walking towards it and it just like it's like if you've never smelled it, it's. It's like intense rotten egg smell just like hits you and it does not go away. And it's not like you like get used to it. It was just like awful. And I was just like, people go into this? Why would you want to smell like this? It's awful.
Okay, so hold on to your butts. But we have a city in New Zealand called Rotorua, which is 45 minutes drive away from us. And it's one of our biggest touristy places. And it has those sulfur pools. It smells like shit. Everyone
it's
that goes
so
there,
awful.
It was like, why do you have like downhill luging, which is like Mario Kart, but you know what I mean? Like you're in luges and that sort of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like skydiving and bungee jumping and
mountain biking
and all the touristy things are in this one spot, but it literally smells like shit.
But no, you want to smell like Hoggle dipped in the eternal stench from Labyrinth. Why? Why? I don't understand. Oh,
so good.
Oh, great answers, guys.
Thanks.
Question 20.
Okay, cool. So we got submitted some really awesome questions, but we're going to go with the one that me and Ash both agreed was pretty awesome. Came from the I Seen That podcast, a really good podcast that you guys should go and check out. They're really awesome. And they want to know is what other job would you like to see these characters work together at? Now, they went on to elaborate that they think that a movie about these guys getting caught up in a multi-level marketing scheme would be great. Personally agree with them, but what other job and hijinks could you imagine these guys doing?
For me, I just cannot go past like a 70s version of Zoolander where these guys are fashion models.
Now I see it. Now I get it.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
I think because there's this whole like zoo component, I think it'd be really funny to see them all as zookeepers. And just like horribly, horribly fucking that up, you know?
That would be hilarious.
Or leaving cages open. And that's like, oh, oh shit.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
The pandas escaped and so is the tiger.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it would be like a reality TV real estate show where the four of them are like almost like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, but like reality, like a housing show, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Ron Burgundy would be your lead guy who's like trying to find houses for people and trying to like sell them and stuff and all that sort of stuff. Champ would just be this horrible builder who's makes all these sexist jokes halfway through the show when he's renovating the houses and shit. And Brian Fantano, I could imagine him as a landscaper out, you know, doing all the landscaping stuff. And Brick, he's the perfect interior designer. He loves carpet. He loves lamps. He loves desk. He's perfect
That's
job.
So perfect. Extreme makeover home edition version of Anchorman.
Yeah, we're Anchorman. I'd love that. I'd totally watch that. I don't watch much reality TV shows, but I would totally get down on that one. The other question I want to float in there that came care of one of our biggest friends, Billy, from We Watch The Thing, is he wants to know, do we love lamps?
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
I do.
I might just be looking at it and saying I love it, but I definitely love lamps.
Especially IKEA ones, you know.
Yeah, thank you. So that takes us down to the end of our podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening along as we go through Anchorman. Ash, remind us again where we can find your podcast, we can find your YouTube channel, we can find your, I don't know, any other channels that you might have on the internet. I'm just going to
say. Oh, God, I hope I don't have more. you can listen to my podcast. It's called Let's Rewatch, and I believe we're on all of the podcasting things. And then you can check out my YouTube channel. It's Laughstash TV on YouTube, and you can also follow that at Laughstash TV on Twitter, and the other one is at Let's Rewatch on Twitter. So there you go.
It's so awesome. It's so good, guys. You should definitely check it out. Me and Stacey are big fans.
Thanks.
Really enjoy the shit out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's thanks. Very cool.
So you knew what you were getting into when you asked me to be on the show.
Exactly. Yeah. We're very excited to have you on here. And yeah, we've been really lucky. We've had a lot of guest stars on over the last couple of episodes. And once again, we've done very well to pick you and have such an amazing couple of questions and responses. You've been amazing, Ash.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. I love your guys' show, too. I was just listening to... Oh no, now I'm forgetting the episode name. God, I can't think today, guys.
I was just waiting for you to go like, yeah, I was just listening to Armageddon. Yeah, we haven't done that.
Yeah. No, I was listening to the Grand Budapest one, which was so great. Oh, that was a charming episode.
Yeah, it's a cute one. But anyway, yeah, that is takes us to the end. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In. You can find us on Facebook at Movie Reviews In 20 Qs. We just launched a Patreon, and we've got to say a very big special thanks to Tara Maholic, who a minute after we launched our Patreon, she became our first Patreon, which is nice.
Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, it means a lot to us.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Like, we do this for fun. We don't really care about making money, but for someone to go, here's a couple of dollars, like one American dollar equals 20 New Zealand dollars. So.
Yeah.
So that pays off my mortgage. So thanks, Tara. That's fucking amazing of you. But yeah, that is thanks from me.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Bye.
I don't know.
That'll do.
Well, Stacey, what you have to do is you have to now go and order a Nicolas Cage mask so that you can jump out while he's watching it and just scare the bejesus out of him.
We might already do that now in private time, Ash. But
quick, it's sexy time. Get the Nicolas Cage mask.
Well, I feel special now that I suggested Con Air and got a yes to that.
Yeah.
It was probably immediately after that episode they decided to
stop. Hey, you shut your mouth. You shut your mouth. Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
So the first question is a compliment sandwich, right?
Yep.
Oh, wait, no, you just asked it.
No, you just, you just have to answer it.
Did I just fuck everything up? I just have to answer it. I'm sorry. I'm concentrating so hard on the questions, guys. I'll mess it up.
If you ever wonder where I am, babe, just go down to the movie theater and be like, hey, have you guys got a fucking loud snoring dude in your movie theater? He's like, yeah, he's been here all fucking day. Weren't you trying to debate whether you kick a dog off a bridge if you got hit with a burrito?
No, I would never.